The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher. Welcome back to another week of NFL coverage here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. 9 weeks of the NFL season are in the books. That means we are halfway through the NFL season. But man, oh man, I gotta say, it was looking more like NFL Fight Night this weekend than it was NFL Week 9, because with the return of George St. Pierre to UFC 217, everybody was in the fighting mood as we had three title changes in UFC, and we had a bunch of upsets this week in the NFL. So we're going to go over every single fight, every single game, everything right here on the Bay's Golden Days. But you know where we got to start off with: the Oakland Raiders coming back from that L last week against the Jets. Had another primetime game this weekend against the Dolphins on Sunday Night Football, and just like I said, last week we took an L, but this week we bounced back.
Last night took an L, but you're not a bounce back.
Carr gonna throw a pop deep for the post there for Johnny Holt, and caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
I woke up in beast mode.
They give it to Lynch, coming straight ahead. Breaks a tackle. First down. Lynch into the end zone. Touchdown! Raiders! Beast mode. Breaks the tackle in the middle of the front, Tom, and speeds into the end zone for a Raider touchdown. 3 yard line. They're going to gun run Lynch here. He's to the side. Gun run Marshawn coming left to right. Hops into the end zone. Touchdown! Rushing touchdown for Marshawn Lynch tonight. He's back, and the silver and black are back.
Last night took a L, but you're not a bounce back, boy. I've been broke as hell, catch the check and bounce back. D-Town LAX, every week I bounce back. If you a real one, then you know how to bounce back.
Bounce back, bounce, bounce, bounce back, bounce, 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 bounce back.
No doubt about it, the Raiders have taken plenty of L's this season, but this week they bounced back with a win over the Dolphins 27-24 to improve to 4-5 and jump right back into second place in the AFC West. And like I said, we're only one game out of the wild card, so all you playoff teams better be on the lookout, because here comes the Raiders. They get it done on the East Coast. They will split their East Coast road trip 1-1 after losing last week in Buffalo, but like I said, bounce back down south in Miami to take the win over Jay Cutty and the Dolphins 27-24, and the Raiders did what they had to do to get this job done. It wasn't pretty, but we can't complain because we got the win. And let's go ahead and jump straight into this game and see how it all went down. Starting off, the Raiders receive the ball. Carr gets it cooking early with a 12-play, 58-yard drive, completing three times with Jared Cook. Each of these completions were a first down, so Jared Cook, like I said, get it cooking, my man, early. Had three first downs on the first drive. The Raiders drive the ball down all the way down to the Miami Dolphins 17-yard line, but they had to settle for a Giorgio Tavecchio field goal and go up 3-0. Those were the only points in the first quarter, so let's go ahead and jump to the second quarter. The Dolphins finally get the ball moving on their second drive of the day, and they're just hitting check down after check down on a 10-play, 82-yard drive, and it results in a 10-yard play-action pass to Damian Williams, the running back out of the backfield, sneaks into the flat. We can't make the tackle, and the Dolphins go up quick 6-3 because they missed the extra point, so it is still a three-point game. But as soon as the Dolphins got their touchdown and missed the extra point, they still had some faith in their kicker because they go out and they try to pull off an onside kick. So the guy can't hit an extra point, but he can pull off a perfectly executed solo onside kick, as it really did look like the kicker was following the ball in slow motion, And by the time it reached 10 yards, he gets the ball back and the Dolphins get the ball. But the Raiders defense had something to say about it as they hold him to three downs and they create a turnover with Bruce Irvin and Carl Joseph coming up for the strip on Kenyon Drake. TJ Carey recovers the ball, and just like that, the Raiders got the ball back, and instead of the Dolphins scoring off a turnover, it's the Raiders who capitalize on a turnover by going 81 yards in six plays after hitting Jared Cook a couple more times for another 27-yard. Carr goes deep to not Amari Cooper, to not Michael Crabtree, to Johnny Holton. Yes, you heard me correctly. Johnny Holton for the 44-yard touchdown, and the Raiders take the lead 10-6 on Johnny Holton's second touchdown of the year. Both the Raiders and the Dolphins would settle for field goals before halftime, and so the Raiders go into the half leading 13-9 over the Dolphins. To start the third quarter, the Dolphins get the ball, but the Raiders defense comes up with a big three and out and get Derek Carr the ball back as he goes 67 yards in six plays, leading the Raiders downfield with the return of the suspended Marshawn Lynch, who finally breaks out in the second half of this game with a huge 22-yard touchdown run. Beast mode puts it into the end zone. This was a great play call. Gabe Jackson and Marshall Newhouse lining up and double teaming Ndamukong Suh the whole entire game. He was playing very aggressive, and they just pulled the chair right from underneath him. A lot of people in basketball know that phrase, and when he's trying to post up and you just move and let him fall down, Ndamukong Suh ate dirt. Marshawn Lynch cups up the middle. No linebacker fills the hole. Jukes out the safety and gets into the end zone on a 22-yard beast mode touchdown, and it puts the Raiders up 20-9, and I'm thinking it's over. They got Jay Cutler. They can't come back, but Jay Cutler responds instantly with a 7-play, 75-yard drive led by a Kenyon Drake 42-yard run, and it's finished by a 6-yard touchdown pass from Jay Cutler to Jarvis Landry. And just like that, we got a 20-16 game going into the fourth quarter. The Raiders got the ball. They're trying to drive. They're trying to run out the clock. Unfortunately, a holding penalty puts them in a long 3rd-and-14 situation. Derek Carr has to drop back, and out of nowhere, Ndamukong Superman Sue comes flying in for the strip sack, and somehow Marshall Newhouse scoops up the ball and he's trying to make a play with it. The big man rumbling, stumbling a few yards until he gets hit, flipped, dipped, and dropped as he looked like a helicopter and Black Hawk down the way he was spun up in the air, and he ends up fumbling. The Dolphins recover and they got the ball back, only down less than a touchdown in the fourth quarter. But once again, this Raiders defense holds and prevents the Dolphins from getting points off the turnovers with another big three and out. Carr then leads the offense 87 yards in six plays, hitting Michael Crabtree, hits Jared Cook, hits Seth Roberts for 27 yards, drives them all the way down to Miami's 3-yard line, and once again, I woke up in beast mode. Beast mode blasted in for his second touchdown of the day, and the Raiders take the lead 27-16, and I'm calling it a wrap. It's over there, but like I said, this game ended up 27-24 and looked like it was real close. Well, yes, the Dolphins did get a garbage time interception and a TD off of soft Raiders coverage that was just letting them complete dump down after dump down. They ended up scoring a touchdown. They had a failed onside kick as Amari Cooper leads the NFL in drops this year, but made a huge play by recovering the onside kick. The Raiders take a knee, and the Raiders win 27-24, and as I said, it wasn't a pretty one, and we should have actually killed the Dolphins, but I'll take the win. I'll take any win I can get at this point of the season, because I'm not going to complain. We won 9 one-possession games last year. We got to start winning these one-possession games this year, but this shouldn't have been a one-possession game, so I am a little skeptical about the defense. I'm still skeptical about Todd Downing's offense and his play-calling ability, but I can't go into a huge Raider rant when we just won. So let's go ahead and look at the positive from the games. Derek Carr, welcome back. 300 passing yards for the third week in a row now. He finished the day 21 of 30 passes for 300 yards, a touchdown, and as I mentioned, that late garbage time interception that really didn't play too big of a factor into the game. And the thing that I was loving by Derek Carr in this game, he was taking deep shots down the field. We all saw what happened when he connected with Johnny Holton for that 44-yard catch. I thought that was a huge play, and it was great to see Johnny Holton get to the end zone because he's a Miami native and he's one of the fastest guys on their team. If you know the Raiders, you know Johnny Holton because everything he does on special teams. And he had a 64-yard touchdown earlier in this year. This man's got speed, and it was good to see him do that in his hometown of Miami. But Derek Carr was looking phenomenal. And on that Sunday night football game against the Dolphins, the Raiders called more play actions that game than they did the whole entire season. And guess what? Derek Carr had a perfect quarterback rating on play action. Todd Downing, I guess you must be listening to the podcast so you can keep your job or something. But I've been saying it all year. Got to attack downfield. Got to run the play action. You got to get these wide receivers involved. Coop and Crabtree only had a combined 7 catches for 98 yards. Crabtree was bottled up a little bit and was only targeted 4 times, but you can't complain when Johnny Holton's getting into the end zone. And Jared Cook, having by far his best game of the Raider, came up with a couple big catches so far this year. He's also had some big drops, but this was the most consistent I've seen Jared Cook all year, with 8 catches for 126 yards. He truly was Derek Carr's safety blanket. As I mentioned, had 3 first downs on the first drive alone, and this guy was connecting with Derek. That chemistry just continues to build and build, and I think this offense is going to continue to keep on getting better and better because we're still figuring things out. Marshawn Lynch, welcome back from your suspension. Best game Marshawn has probably had this year, obviously because he had 2 touchdowns. It was his first 2 touchdown game since 2014, but it really did seem like his suspension was still looming into the first half of this game because we didn't have no rushing game at all in the first half. But second half, this is where I've been wanting Marshawn Lynch all year long. When we got the lead in the second half, pound the rock with Marshawn, and a lot of those 14 carries for 57 yards came in that second half before he ripped off that huge 22-yard touchdown run. He had a 14-yard run on that same drive. I'm telling you, this 22-yard touchdown run was the longest of the season, and he now passes Earl Campbell on the NFL all-time rushing list with 12,665 yards. Marshawn, this is where we needed you all season long, between the tackles. We saw last week against Buffalo when our 2 backup running backs had 2 fumbles and how big of a loss it was playing without Marshawn. We still got to see DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard switch in a little bit and change the pace of back, but Marshawn Lynch up the middle with that offensive line. As I mentioned, Gabe Jackson, Rodney Hudson, Kelechi Osemele, they all played great. Marshall Newhouse and Donald Penn did great also. I mean, this offensive line looked good, but we really should have put up 40 on the Dolphins. We still had a couple 3 and outs. Todd Downing, there were still some questionable play calls, but like I said, got to focus on the positives, and the Raiders offense once again is able to get the job done. 27-24 on the defense side of the ball. I thought that we played a soft coverage the whole entire game, letting Jay Cutler complete pass after pass after pass, because somehow, someway, smoking Jay Cutler was 34 of 42, 311 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. God damn it, where was my interception that I called last week? It's smoking Jay Cutler, for God's sakes. What, just because he's playing in a night game, he was able to sleep off his hangover from the night before, and so he's all of a sudden elite Jay Cutler? He was looking like Aaron Rodgers out there tearing up the Raiders defense, and we are now the only team in NFL history to go 9 weeks of an NFL season without an interception. God damn. Looks like Jay Cutler should be playing against the Raiders DBs his whole entire life, because he'd be a Super Bowl Hall of Famer contender the way that our defense is allowing stats. But as I mentioned, they came up with a couple huge 3 and outs. Bruce Irvin had a sack. He also had a strip on the day. He played phenomenal. Navarro Bowman once again led the team in tackles. We got Obi Melifonwu back. He only played a few snaps, but I think this Raiders defense is going to continue to improve, continue to get healthy. Hopefully we get David Emerson back after the bye. We'll see what's going on with Gary on Conley and his shins, but this is a great week for the bye week for the Raiders, getting a W over the Dolphins against an AFC East division opponent, and we'll have 2 weeks now to prepare for the only team that really matters in the AFC East, the New England Patriots down in Mexico. But we can't preview that game yet. We got to just talk about what the Raiders have done now, and as I mentioned, 1 game out of the wild card, 2nd place in the AFC West. Just when everybody said the Raiders season was over, I told you right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast that we ain't going nowhere. Put your motherfucking money where your mouth is, and the Raiders got a huge win to keep their season alive, 27-24. And as I mentioned, before we get to the Mexico, before we get to the bye weeks, before we get to everything, we got to go back and review all the games from a crazy week 9 of the NFL. I like to call it the NFL fight night. Let's go ahead and check out the preview in 60 seconds.
It's Sunday in 60 seconds, week 9. On your mark, get set, go!
Oh, potato sack race.
Jay Ajayi knows how to make an entrance in Philly. The Texans can't touch T.Y. on this TD. And Cam posterizes the Falcons for a touchdown dunk. 3rd and 33, and the Rams pick up a long 6, which is all you need to know about the Giants' day.
You're a New York Giant. This is absolutely unacceptable.
Is Sam Cook elite? Let the quarterback controversy begin in Baltimore.
He's going to go down the sideline.
This punt, definitely not elite.
They blocked it, and it is a touchdown.
The Saints marched it right into the end zone. Raise your hand if you approve of this nifty Keelan Cole catch. The Chiefs break out the Tyreek Hill Hail Mary before the half.
Look at Hill go! Impossible! Touchdown, Kansas City!
The newest 49er gets an up-close look at the San Fran losing streak. Washington wins in a photo finish. And the Raiders take no prisoners in South Beach. Time's up. Play us out, Luke.
Oh, what a crazy week it was in week 9 of the 2017 NFL season. As I said to start the podcast, this weekend was looking more like NFL fight night because every single game it seemed you change it to, there was a fight going on. And I'm sure all these athletes were inspired by the events that took place on Saturday night, UFC 217, the return of George St. Pierre as he drops Michael Bisping, takes his back, puts him in his rear naked choke, and takes over as the middleweight champion of the world. Oh, it got me hyped, and I'm sure it got a bunch of people hyped this weekend because we had the Bengals fighting the Jags, the Bucks fighting the Saints, the 49ers fighting the Cardinals. Everybody was trying to get some, and I'm going to compare all three of the biggest fights in the NFL to the three main events from UFC 217. But first, we're going to go ahead and cover the AFC West and finish off the Raiders division before we get ahead into the fights because the Bears, Steelers, Chargers, Browns, Vikings, and Patriots all had bye weeks this week. So let's go ahead and hop into week 9 of the regular season, and we'll start off in the AFC West talking about the best team in football. The Philadelphia Eagles improved to 8-1 to improve their 7-game win streak to the best record in the NFL by beating the Broncos 51-23. And I told you the Eagles were going to cover that touchdown spread. They put up 51 on the Denver Broncos, one of the top defenses in the league, quote unquote. And these 51 points were the most points allowed by a Denver defense since 2010 when the Oakland Raiders and Darren McFadden put up 59 on them donkeys. Oh, what a time to look back on. But let's talk about this game because Carson Wentz, this man is looking phenomenal and is inserted himself into the front running of the MVP conversation. He ended the day with only 199 yards passing, but 4 touchdowns. The Philadelphia Eagles Twitter account came out and said, hey, we ran out of fireworks for celebrating touchdown passes because they were scoring that damn much. 51 points, unbelievable. Alshon Jeffrey, Carson Wentz's newest weapon that he got in free agency this year, has his best game of the year as he had 6 catches for 84 yards and 2 touchdowns. And another weapon that Carson Wentz just got, Jay Ajayi. We talked about the trade last week and the Miami Dolphins front office must have been on some of the blow from the offensive line coach because to trade Jay Ajayi to the Phillies for a 3rd, 4th round draft pick, whatever it was ridiculous. And welcome to Philly, Jay, because they now got a Jay in the backfield lined up right next to the Blunt, and I swear this score was so high. I swear they were sparking it up all day. He had 8 carries for 77 yards and that big 46-yard touchdown to set up the W for the Eagles. This defense has been playing phenomenal. I mean, everybody's been playing phenomenal for the Eagles. They got the number 1 run defense. They got the number 1 point scored. They're the number 2 point differential in the league. And they're just scoring relentlessly. And they can't be stopped even by this no-fly zone. They've already allowed more passing touchdowns this year than they did all of last year. I predicted it to begin the season. I didn't think the Denver Broncos were going to go back to the playoffs. And I said that no-fly zone was going to take a hit without TJ Ward. Well, hey, they took a hit against the Eagles and lost embarrassingly. So bad that CBS had to change the game. They didn't even want it on CBS anymore. The Eagles took care of the Broncos 51-23. And then let's keep it moving and look at another matchup between the AFC West and that NFC East as the NFC East comes through once again to help out the Raiders. The Cowboys got the job done against the Chiefs. They were -1 earlier in the week when we talked about the point spread, but who knows with Ezekiel Elliott. Hell, I called it on last week's podcast. I said Ezekiel Elliott finally suspended, and by the time this podcast is 2 days old, he'll be reinstated. And guess what happened? Ezekiel Elliott gets granted permission to play against the Chiefs, and he gets 27 carries, 93 yards, and finds the end zone with a TD. But Dak Prescott really was looking great with 249 yards, 2 touchdowns, almost had an interception. It was broken up by Dez Bryant. Yes, Dez Bryant actually leads the NFL in interceptions broken up by a wide receiver. So Dak, you got to give some credit to your boy Dez, even though he was finding Terrence Williams all game. Terrence Williams had 9 catches, 141 yards. The Chiefs did everything they could. They busted out this Hail Mary screen pass for Tyreek Hill at the end of the half, that worked phenomenal. It seemed like they just sent every tight end on a go route and then threw a little dump off to Tyreek Hill, and he had blockers out front. That's just some of the great play calling that Andy Reid has when he gets into the end zone. Travis Kelce also had 7 catches, 73 yards, and got into the end zone. But Alex Smith throws his first interception of the season. I was going to say, you got Tyreek Hill scoring, you got Kelce scoring. You think the Chiefs are going to win. Alex Smith gets that big first interception of the season, and Kareem Hunt shut down. Only 9 carries for 37 yards. I got to say, this Cowboys defense is playing above potential once again, and it's looking like this Dallas Cowboys team are looking like a team to mess with, but they're going to have a little bit of trouble tracking down the Eagles. As like I said, the Eagles 8-1, that's one hell of a record. The Cowboys sticking in second place with a 5-3 record, but just like the Raiders, if they get in a wild card somehow, watch out, because they are a team to watch for. We'll keep it moving now in the NFC East division. The Rams took on the Giants. The Giants have just looked absolutely terrible since losing their whole entire wide receiver core. They got mopped 51-17. I told you, take the Rams in the points, and they won you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days, as the Rams have scored over 40 points for the third time this season. Hell, the Rams have scored more points this year already in 8 games than they did all of last year in 16 games. It is unbelievable what Sean McVay has able to done to this young offense. Jared Goff is playing phenomenal with 311 yards and 4 touchdowns. Todd Gurley is looking like a different running back than he did last year. The Rams are the number one team in the NFL in point differential, and I thought I'd never be saying those words, especially how pathetic they were tying the 49ers last year and having just terrible games. But Greg the Leg Zerline, he's getting points, kicking it in, and the Rams offense just keeps on scoring points relentlessly, and they improved to 6-2 in the NFC West and grab a hold of that first place slot, because the Seattle Seahawks blew a prime opportunity after beating the Texans last week. They lose at home to the Washington Redskins 17-14 in what was a close game. I told you, take the Seahawks and the points at home, but hey, if they would have hit their fucking first 3 field goals, they would have covered that spread. 3 missed field goals in the first half. That's 9 points alone. They would have covered the spread, but no, the Redskins ended up coming back and winning. Kirk Cousins was really bottled up all day into a late 2-minute drive, gets him down and scores a touchdown. Russell Wilson was once again doing everything he could, running for his life in the backfield. He threw for 297 yards, 2 touchdowns, did have 2 interceptions, but he was also the leading rusher with 10 attempts, 77 yards. Doug Baldwin had 7 catches, 108 yards, but it was a little too little too late, as the Seahawks offense just continues to struggle. I mean, I swear to God, I'm not lying. There was a point in the game where Russell Wilson almost got sacked when there was only one man rushing the passer. How does that happen? I thought they just traded for Dwayne Brown from the Texans. I thought that was a great pickup for the offensive line, but they got to do a couple more trades or something, because they are not looking like a playoff team with this offensive line, and they dropped a 5-3 on the year now, just giving the Rams a little bit of space, and the Cardinals actually make up a game because they got to play the San Francisco 49ers this weekend, or as I should say, the Santa Clara 0-9ers, because the Niners have dropped to 0-9. The 0-49ers. No Jimmy Garoppolo, no 49er faithful, neither. Nothing. But I told you, take the Cardinals minus 2 points, and they won you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days after taking care of the 49ers 20-10. And man, oh man, where do I even start? Do I want to hop straight into the fights? No, we'll talk about the game first. CJ Beathard, as I mentioned, there was no Jimmy Garoppolo. Gets in, throws 294 yards, does throw an interception, but this man is just getting absolutely destroyed playing for the Niners. He's been sacked 16 times, and he's been hit 47 times total in the last 3.5 games. Yes, that's why Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing, because they do not want him to end the season before it even starts. The franchise quarterback, I'm hearing rumors they're going to franchise him and then trade him. Who even knows what's going on in that front office? But we do know that Adrian Peterson and Larry Fitzgerald absolutely tore up this 49ers defense. AP, 37 carries, 159 yards. He now has over 12,000 yards in his career. He's the 4th fastest ever, doing it in 130 games. And those 37 carries were the most carries ever by a running back over 30 years old. But he did not look 30 against the 49ers, because he tore him up with ease. And Larry Fitzgerald added today with 5 catches, 70 yards to pass the Oakland Raider Tim Brown to move the number 6 all-time on the receiving list. Even without Carson Palmer, these two OGs, Adrian Peterson and Larry Fitzgerald, were able to carry the offense, and their defense actually carried the game too, because Honey Badger forced a fumble to start the game, and Carlos Dansby had a game-ending INT to join the 40 sack and 20 interception club. But man, oh man, I talked about things got chippy in this game, and let's hop into my UFC 217 / NFL Fight Night coverage, as the first fight we're going to talk about was Carlos Hyde versus Frosty Rutaker. Even Hassan Reddick got into it. I compare this fight to the co-main event from UFC 217. TJ Dillashaw versus Cody Garbrandt. Carlos Hyde was looking like Cody Garbrandt out there. Came in clean, landed a first hook. Thought he was going to drop him in the first round. But what do you know? Frosty Rutaker comes back out of nowhere and drops Carlos Hyde just like TJ Dillashaw did to Cody Garbrandt in the second round of UFC 217. And Carlos Hyde gets ejected from the game. He gets tossed out quick. But that's only the co-main event of UFC Fight Night. As we move on to our next game, let's go straight to the main event, baby. AJ Green versus Jalen Ramsey. And if this wasn't GSP versus Bisping, I don't know what it is. Because AJ Green, after taking a couple little cheap shots, he said Jalen Ramsey was talking shit, running his mouth all week, just like Michael Bisping. AJ Green comes in, throws a left, takes his back, puts him in a rear naked choke, just like George St. Pierre did to Michael Bisping. Chokes him out, puts him to sleep. There's a brawl on the field. I give AJ Green the new middleweight champion of the NFL. George St. Pierre got to be an inspiration. And UFC 217 was showing its fights this weekend in the NFL. Let's talk about the actual gameplay, though, before we get into our third fight. The Jaguars won you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days as they were a 5-point favorite. They won 23-7 without Leonard Fournette because Fournette was benched for missing a team photo, missing workouts. Hey, maybe he was in New York at UFC 217 because they didn't even need him this weekend. The Jaguars' defense was putting a beating on the Bengals. They held him to only 37 offensive snaps. How? How do you hold a team to under 40 snaps in a whole game? They are the number 3 in point differential so far this year. So we got the Rams, the Jaguars, and the Eagles as the top 3 point differential teams in the NFL, just like everybody predicted, I'm sure. But either way, the most exciting thing about this game, no doubt, was AJ Green being inspired by George St. Pierre to put Jalen Ramsey in a rear naked choke. Both of them got ejected, but neither of them even got suspended or nothing. We'll talk about a man who did get suspended now, and that's Mike Evans. Suspended 1 game for his hit out of nowhere on Marshon Lattimore. He came and just flew in like Rose Namajunas has taken out Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Nobody expected Thug Rose to take out Joanna Champion, just like no one thought Mike Evans would just be coming out of nowhere and laying haymakers. This guy wasn't even in the screen and just takes out Marshon Lattimore after him and Jameis Winston were talking back and forth. Hey, I guess just like Rose and Joanna Jędrzejczyk, there was some bickering between families. One person feels disrespect. Well, Mike Evans came in like Thug Rose Namajunas and takes out Lattimore. Oh man, what a week of fighting, what a week of NFL, and what a game this was as the Saints took care of the Buccaneers 30-10. I thought the Buccaneers would get an upset this weekend, to be honest with you, but Jameis Winston was hurt in the first quarter. Fitz had to come in. He only threw for 68 yards and a touchdown. They had no run game. Doug Martin didn't even show up, and Drew Brees once again does what Drew Brees does, throwing for 263 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ingram and Alvin Kamara are just looking like a special 1-2 punch. Mike Evans might have landed the cheap shot, but it was the Saints who got the victory on the day, 30-10. And those were the 3 main events of NFL Fight Week, alongside with the 3 main events of UFC 217. But let's go ahead and keep it moving now with the rest of our coverage from Week 9 in the NFL. We'll stick in that NFC South division. There was another division matchup between the Falcons and the Panthers. I said take the Panthers minus 2 points, and they won by 3, 20-17. Cam Newton gets the job done, even though he only threw for 137 yards and a questionable non-touchdown call. Hey, I'm calling it a touchdown. He flipped to the Christian McCaffrey, but they called it an option, and Christian McCaffrey gets his first rushing touchdown of the year. But Cam Newton was actually the lead rusher. He ran 9 times for 86 yards. Devin Funchess was the number 1 wide receiver, with Kelvin Benjamin being shipped off to the Bills. So I'm still scratching my head about that. I don't understand that at all. But Funchess with 5 catches, 68 yards, and it's been this Panthers defense. What did I say? Luke Kuechly really does make an impact on this defense. The Panthers defense are now in total defense number 1 overall, number 2 in rush defense. They're 3rd in sacks per game with Julius Peppers coming back to the squad. They are playing phenomenal right now, and that's why they are 6-3 and tied with the Saints for first place in the NFC South. The Saints sitting at 6-2, taking care of the Bucks. The Panthers taking care of the Falcons. We know who the top 2 teams are in the NFC South, as the Falcons are looking like they're having a bit of a down year after the Super Bowl with their Super Bowl hangover. I've mentioned it so many times on this podcast. They could be 2-6 if you really looked at things, but hey, At the end of the day, the Panthers get the job done and get a huge win in the NFC South. And then we'll move on next to the Ravens and the Titans. This was an interesting game where I told you to take the Titans minus 5.5. They only won by 3, so they still won but did not cover here on the Bay's Golden Days. Mariota threw for 218 yards, 2 touchdowns, did have an interception, but it was Derrick Henry finding the end zone as DeMarco Murray struggled. But really, it's been all this Tennessee Titans defense and Kevin Byrd. He had 2 more interceptions. That's 5 total interceptions in the last 2 games alone. If the defense is playing this strong and Marcus Mariota can get this offense rolling, they got a chance to hunt down the Texans without Deshaun Watson tearing his ACL for the rest of the year. They got a chance in that AFC South, so it really is anybody's division, and it's a toss-up of who's going to be the champion. But we'll continue now looking in that AFC South as the Colts and the Texans face off. I told you take the Texans in a huge point spread, minus 13, but this was before the Deshaun Watson news broke, so if you were smart enough to know that no Deshaun Watson, do not bet. And these are two teams that I just don't want to bet on for the rest of the year. If Andrew Luck sounded like he's done for the rest of the year, Deshaun Watson sounds like he's done for the rest of the year, I'm staying away from the Colts and I'm staying away from the Texans, and I'm going back to my original pick for the AFC South, the Tennessee Titans. But we'll talk about this game as the Colts pulled off a W, 20-14. The Texans had a chance to win late, but Tom Savage really did just look terrible. He threw for 219 yards, did have a touchdown, but he only had a 31% completion rate. Get this, Hopkins and Fuller combined 8 catches on 24 targets. That means they only caught the ball 33% of the time it was thrown to him. That's their lowest ever as a duo. They were showing the effects of not having Deshaun Watson. Tom Savage is just not an NFL caliber quarterback. There have been some rumors about maybe Colin Kaepernick going to the Texans after all the comments that the Texans owner just said, maybe trying to buy some good graces. Who knows? Who cares? Who cares about this division? The Colts get a win 20-14. Neither of these two teams without their quarterbacks are going to make the playoffs, so we'll keep it moving now and move on to the next game that we got, and it's a division game between the Bills and the Jets. And this was a Thursday night football game that I just did not understand. If you need one game to explain the parity that is the NFL 2017 season, the Bills and the Jets will explain it to you, because the Jets beat the Bills 34-21. And how does this cycle make sense? The Raiders embarrassed the Jets. The Bills embarrassed the Raiders. Then the Jets embarrassed the Bills. What cycle is this going on? Raiders beat Jets, Bills beat Raiders, Jets beat Bills. This doesn't make any sense at all, but that's just the parity of the NFL. Any team can win any given Sunday. It seems like Kelvin Benjamin, as I mentioned, was traded to the Bills but didn't even play, and it was Josh McCown getting the job done with 140 yards and a touchdown, and Matt Forte with 14 carries, 77 yards, and 2 touchdowns. They got a big division win over the Bills, 34-21. And as I mentioned, everybody in the AFC is losing. Both teams from the AFC West lost, so this is only good news for the Raiders, and we're getting closer and closer. As I mentioned, only one game out of the actual wild card spot. But let's go ahead and talk about the last game of the week. That is the Lions and the Packers on Monday Night Football. The Lions got the win 30-17, and this is only the second time that the Lions have won in Lambeau in the last 25 years, and there's one simple solution: Aaron Rodgers. The Packers are now 0-3 without Rodgers this year. Brent Hundley tried to play well in this game, but was just simply outplayed by Matthew Stafford, as he is now the fourth youngest quarterback to reach 200 touchdowns, and this was really just too easy for Matthew Stafford and his Lions offense, as they didn't even have to punt the whole entire game. No punts, straight points, straight cash, homie, here on the Bay's Golden Days, because the Lions won you some money covering that 2.5-point spread, and that's every single game from the NFL Week 9. Get you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days, but we're talking about money. Everybody knows what time it is.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right, Randy. It's time for Week 10 of Straight Cash, homie, here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, where we look ahead to every single up-and-coming NFL matchup of Week 10 and give you our favorite picks and bets by the point spread. The Raiders, as I mentioned, are going to be on bye this week, prepping for their big Mexico game versus the Patriots in 2 weeks. So let's go ahead and jump straight into the Straight Cash, homie, picks with Thursday Night Football. We got the Seahawks and the Cardinals facing off in an NFC West division matchup. The Seahawks are favored by 6 on the road with Drew Stanton that and still leading the team for the Cardinals. I do not have too much faith in the Cardinals. I think Adrian Peterson still should have a decent game, though, because the Seahawks defense and its Legion of Boom, they have been sustainable to the run. So look for AP to get it done on the ground a little bit. But I do think the Seahawks are going to win this game. 6 points is a big point spread for a division game. But hey, give me the Seahawks minus six on the road to bounce back from that loss last week. Moving on to Sunday, we got the Saints visiting the Bills in Buffalo. The Saints are one of the hottest teams in football right now after winning 6 weeks in a row. They're favored by 2.5 points. And after the Bills just got beat by the Jets, I'm for sure not putting my money on the Bills. So give me Drew Brees in the Saints minus 2.5 points. The Packers and the Bears face off in an NFC North Division matchup. And for the first time since I was a wee child, the Bears are actually favored over the Packers. Yes, we all know because Aaron Rodgers isn't playing, but still, the Bears at 3-5 this year. The Packers have lost 3 games in a row. The Bears with a 5-point favorite. I think this might be one of those division games that comes down to a field goal. So give me the Packers and the points, Brent Hundley, and I look for Jordy Nelson to finally get over 40 yards because he's been getting contained, not having Aaron Rodgers at his quarterback. But I look for the Packers to bounce back, and I'll take the Packers plus 5 points. The Browns and the Lions face off in Detroit. Detroit is favored by 12.5 points, but the Browns are coming off a bye, but they still are the Browns. So what does that really mean? 2 weeks to prepare for Matthew Stafford. This could be a close game, so that 12.5-point spread is a little risque, but I still like the Lions to win the game, so I would tease that down to maybe a touchdown and take the Lions for sure. The Steelers and the Colts face off as the Steelers come back from a bye week. They are favored by 10 points over the Colts. What's my motto? No Andrew Luck, no Colts. This is one of the worst franchises in football. You can tell by the lack of talent. You'll see this weekend after the Killer Bees get done tearing up the Colts. Give me the Steelers minus 10 points. The Chargers and the Jaguars face off in Jacksonville, and the Jaguars are favored by 4 points. This defense has been playing phenomenal. The Chargers did have 2 weeks to prep coming off their bye week, but I still like the Jags minus 4, hopefully getting Leonard Fournette back. But either way, they still got the win last week. I'll take the Jags minus 4 points. The Jets and the Buccaneers face off, and the Jets are a minus 2.5-point favorite on the road. This is a team that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I thought they could potentially be a wild card team with all the young talent. They've got a great set of linebackers with Quan Alexander and Lavonte David. You would think that they are just missing a few pieces, but it looks like they're missing a lot this year as they've dropped to 2-6 on the year now, and the Jets are 4-5. This is going to be interesting to see if Jameis Winston's going to play or not. There's been rumors the coaches might shut him down for a while. There's been rumors that the Buccaneers, just as a whole team, have just given up on the NFL season this year, which is truly pathetic, but I still can't bet on the Jets. I know they're a little hot right now and keeping games close, but with the Jets minus 2.5 points, I'll go ahead and take the Buccaneers plus 2.5 for the upset. The Bengals and the Titans face off in Tennessee. The Bengals are the 4.5-point underdogs. The Titans favored at home. The Bengals just really haven't been too impressive this year. We all know Andy Dalton. We thought things were going to be turned around a little bit when they fired their offensive coordinator, but no, now they're still calling for AJ McCarron, who should have been traded to the Browns last week, but the Browns messed up on the trade line deal. Everything's messed up in the AFC North except for the Pittsburgh Steelers, so I'm not taking any of those teams. I will take the Titans minus 4.5 points. Moving on to the Vikings and the Redskins, they'll face off in Washington, and the Washington Redskins are actually home dogs as they'll give up 1.5 to the Minnesota Vikings. We got some good news, Viking fans. Teddy Bridgewater is back at practice, so if you're looking for a quarterback in your fantasy league and you're desperate, go ahead and swoop him up. He might not play this week, but he could get his starting job back as soon as next week. This is going to be an interesting one, but the way that this Vikings defense has been playing all year and still has them sitting at a 6-2 record, how am I not going to pick the Vikings against the Redskins, who have been disappointing? Hey, can't be too disappointing because they beat us, but still, I will take the Vikings minus 1.5 points. Moving on to the Texans and the Rams next week. Man, oh man, what a game this would have been if Deshaun Watson would have played. Watson versus Goff, we could have seen the two young quarterbacks square off, but unfortunately, we all know the news of Deshaun Watson tearing his ACL, and so with Tom Savage at quarterback, I just can't bet on the Texans. The Rams are favored by 12 points at home. As I mentioned, they are the number one team in the NFL this year in point differential, but 12 points is still a lot against a pretty good Texans defense. They are missing J.J. Watt still, but I think this game might be closer than the 12 points. I still think the Rams will win, but I'd probably tease that down to a touchdown and take the Rams minus 7. But like I said, I like the Rams to win without Deshaun Watson. I don't think the Texans have much of a chance the rest of the year. Moving on to our next afternoon game, which is probably the primetime game of the week. The Cowboys and the Falcons face off in ATL in the Falcons' brand new stadium. And the Falcons actually 3-point favorites after losing last week to the Panthers. And the Cowboys put off a huge win over the Chiefs. I'm going to have to stick with the Cowboys on this one. The way that the Falcons have been falling apart this year and their favorites, no doubt about it. I will take the Cowboys plus 3 points on the road to get the job done over the Falcons because, hey, Ezekiel playing? Ezekiel not playing? We still don't know yet. But hey, if Ezekiel plays, I'm taking the Cowboys over the Falcons. Moving on to the West Coast, we got the Giants taking on the Santa Clara 0-9ers, who will look for their first win of the season. And if there's ever a time to try to get a win, it is this week against the New York Giants, against a team that is only 1-7 on the year. 1-7. God damn, that is disgusting. But hey, that's one more win than the Santa Clara 0-9ers because they're sitting here at 0-9. If this is the week, it's gotta be this week. Get Jimmy Garoppolo in the game. I think you should play him. Even if you're gonna trade him, why not get some tape on him? Because the last time teams have seen him was when he was for the Patriots, but that might just be a strategy just to trade him off his Patriots tape. But as I mentioned, the Niners offensive line has been getting CJ Beathard just absolutely torn up. Jimmy Garoppolo, do something for the franchise. Do something for the 49er faithfuls and the best 0-9 football team in football, baby. It's still pathetic to me, but I think this week might be the week. The Giants have been playing terrible. I might have to take the Niners to get a win. The Giants are favored by 1 point on the road. If the Niners don't win this week, they're going 0-16. It's that simple. So I will, for the sake of the Santa Clara 49er fans and the Bay Area fans listening to this Bay's Golden Days podcast, I will regrettably take the Niners minus 1 point at home against the wide receiverless Eli Manning New York Giants. Oh, man, that is going to be the worst game of the week, no doubt about it. But moving on to Sunday Night Football now, we got the Patriots and the Broncos. This is interesting because the longest time Tom Brady's kryptonite was this Broncos defense. But we just saw what Carson Wentz did last week to this no-fly zone that's just saying, hey, come and fly free now because we got free flyer miles or something. I don't know what's going on down there in Denver. But the Patriots, Tom Brady coming off a bye, 2 weeks to prepare for this Denver defense. I will take the Patriots minus 7.5 points because, honestly, the Broncos, like I mentioned, I don't want to see them as a playoff team this year. I don't see them doing many things right, and I don't see them slowing down Tom Brady. Give me the Patriots minus 7.5 points. And then we get to Monday Night Football. The Dolphins travel to Carolina to take on Cam Newton and the Panthers. As I mentioned, Luke Kuechly has been a difference maker for this Panthers team. When he plays, they win. When he doesn't play, they lose. They're 6-3 on the year, while the Dolphins are 4-4. I wasn't impressed by the Dolphins at all last week against the Raiders. I don't even know why the Dolphins are in prime time so much. They're Thursday Night Football last week. They were just Sunday Night Football against us. Now they're Monday Night Football. You want to know our ratings are down? It's because you keep on putting the Dolphins on prime time football. Give me Cam Newton. Give me Christian McCaffrey. Give me Luke Kuechly to have a field day against the Dolphins, and I will take the Panthers minus 9 points at home on Monday Night Football. And that is every single bet from week 10 of the NFL season. And we'll get a quick recap for you here on Thursday Night Football. I'm taking the Seahawks minus 6 points over the Cardinals. I'm taking the Saints on Sunday over the Bills minus 2.5 points. The Packers for the upset over the Bears plus 5. The Browns against the Lions. I will take the Lions, but I don't like that 12.5 point spread. I'd tease it down if I was you, but I still got the Lions winning. The Steelers and Colts, I'll take the Steelers minus 10. The Chargers and Jaguars, I'll take Jacksonville at home minus 4. The Jets and the Buccaneers, I'll take the Buccaneers for the 2.5 point upset. The Bengals and the Titans, I will take the Titans minus 4.5 points. The Vikings and the Redskins, I'll stick with the Vikings minus 1.5 on the road. The Texans and the Rams, I gotta stick with the Rams minus 12 over this Texans team without Deshaun Watson. The Cowboys and the Falcons, I'm taking the Cowboys plus 3 for the upset in Atlanta. Giants and 49ers, I'm regrettably taking the 49ers for the upset over the Giants at home. The Patriots against the Broncos, I'll take the Patriots on the road minus 7.5. And Monday Night Football, I've got Cam Newton over Jay Cutler. Give me the Carolina Panthers minus 9 points. And that is every single bet from week 10 of the NFL season. We covered every single game from week 9, showed you where we won some money, and we even showed you the craziest fights of the week after an action-packed UFC 217 weekend. George St. Pierre, new middleweight champion. TJ Dillashaw, new champion. Thug Rose Namahunas, new champion. What an epic fight card and what an epic week of football. And we're going to continue to bring you everything here on the Bay's Golden Days coverage for some more UFC podcasts. We got the NFL podcast coming out week after week, but I'm going to try to get my MMA game up, get you a podcast for each pay-per-view card coming up, and just talking some shit because I love some MMA. I love my boy GSP, and he is back as a motherfucking champion. Let's go. The Raiders are back in playoff contention. Oh, what a time to be alive. And what a time to enjoy it all here on the Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading and subscribing on iTunes and Google Play. Check out our website for the instant podcast, bgdsports.com. And until next week, the Raiders aren't even playing, but we'll be back again because you know what it is. It's golden, baby.
Golden. Golden.
Stay gold. Pony boy.